Hey guys, thanks for downloading. This is Tom here. I just want to let you guys know this is the last time we will be uploading our episodes onto the Three Beards World Cup podcast. Going forward, all of the episodes for the Premier League will be found at the Three Beards EPL podcast. Same logo, same clowns. Come and join us, and thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, here with Arsenal fan Ken Lee and Manchester City fan James Lewis. We're going to do part two of our EPL preview for the 2018-2019 season. We have Chelsea at 12-1 odds, fourth place predicted finish for them. And guys, I mean, mystery shrouding this team from the top to the bottom, from all the way the owner, Roman Abramovich, the Russian owner, has withdrawn his UK visa application amid tensions between England and Russia, the governments. And, I mean, guys, this has an effect on every part of the team from transfer to youth building. James, I'm going to start with you.
I think that Chelsea, you know, even though bringing Sarri in, I think Sarri is a great manager and he's going to do good things with Chelsea, I think, but it's going to take time. And this season could go so many different ways. If Courtois leaves, if Hazard leaves, if Willian leaves, I mean, those guys are pivotal figures for Chelsea. Even an underperforming Chelsea, they were the reason why Chelsea was even in the running in the first place. And it's going to take Sarri time to work with the squad he has to implement his game. Bringing in Jorginho is a good signing, but I don't think that he's going to hit the ground running necessarily. He might. We see a lot of time needed by new signings to adapt, and I think Chelsea is going to start the first half of this season out, maybe potentially outside the top 10 by Christmas.
All right, that's interesting. Ken?
I believe what is happening now with Chelsea, and you don't even need to talk about what's happening on the field as the main issue. I think the bigger issue that is really like kind of being kind of talked about, but not really, it really is Abramovich. I believe that he could get so frustrated by the issues that England and Russia are having and him not being able to even step foot in England for all that's worth. Are we going to see the first billionaire owner leave a club in England and leave the club strapped financially and not be able to continue the ways that it's going? I think that this is going to be pivotal. I don't think, to James's point, I think it is going to take time. I just, unfortunately, at a team like Chelsea, you don't get time.
Yeah.
So I do think if they are outside of the top 10, which is a possibility for sure, especially if you lose Courtois and Hazard, I think he's gone before December even comes.
You can't have Caballero being your starting keeper in the season.
I think the bigger issue is how far does the domestic issues of Roman Abramovich take this club down? I mean, I think that might be a bigger story than what's going on the pitch. I mean, but besides the fact that you're going to potentially lose Hazard and Courtois, you still have Morata. That's an issue.
They didn't get Higuain. They're not. I don't know who else they would want to bring in, but they have Morata right
now.
Yeah,
again, you're right, James. Again, they lose another number one striking target to a team that comes out of nowhere to take them.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. And I think that is a storyline for me, is owner turmoil, club turmoil.
This could be the first time you see the money leave. And then what does the club do? Because Roman Abramovich puts millions upon millions of his own dollars into that club every year.
Yeah, I do think that if they were to reach that stage, he has not left the club in debt or anything like that. And I think that the sale would be relatively easy.
Can't leave it in debt when you're funneling it through your own bank account.
Exactly, that's very true. But they have a stadium. They have a high brand. They have a location in the posh part of London that is desirable, and I believe that they'll get a buyer. But whether or not that interim time where the club's being sold. I mean, I think that during that time period, that there's a reason that they're projected for fourth place. I think that the idea that their goalkeeper, who is world-class, even if he is kind of a clown off the field, Courtois, I think he's going to go. His odds to leave are 1-1, and I think he goes. I think Hazard stays.
I think he definitely leaves. I guarantee it's already agreed.
Just they have so much unresolved. They have 5 more days until the window closes, right? And you have these huge question marks sitting on top of the team. They still have a lot of hope in that, you know, Sarri, as you said, James, was very, very successful at Napoli, especially projecting an offensive club with a lot of talent. The flip side of that would be Morata was so poor last year in his first year. Almost more yellow cards than goals. And he actually scored a decent amount of goals early. He had a good start. And he just got beaten down, complained. And by the end of the season, he was second fiddle to a 32-year-old. I mean, albeit a very accomplished 32-year-old in Giroud. But at this point, guys, I think you would agree, especially you, Ken, that Giroud is their best option up top.
100%. I was annoyed that we sold him to Chelsea.
I think Giroud is a great player.
I thought that was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And any player that goes to Chelsea from Arsenal at this point on, and you guys know what I'm talking about, I'm going to lose my mind. But I believe, honestly, that Chelsea needs to put all of their focus right now on paying the players they have whatever it is in the world that they want to stay. Because they couldn't sign a number one target if they had a gun to their face. Mm-hmm. So they need to do whatever it takes to keep what they have. So if Courtois wants $1 billion a year, you got to give it to him. And if Hazard wants $750,000 a week, give it to him, because you're not going to sign anyone to replace him. They're going to go to AC Milan instead.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And guys, you know, there's a rumor, since you guys live in the rumor mill, and I believe there's some credence to it. N'Golo Kante, who in my opinion is the best defensive midfielder in the world, rumored to PSG.
Out.
Do it.
And why wouldn't he leave?
Yeah, I mean, he's so good. He does make a decent amount of money, for sure. But honestly, guys, if you remember when he signed for just over $30 million, it was such a steal. And they immediately won the title after he signed for them. I think that he, to me, is a huge part of their game plan and any success they would have. And at the same time as saying this player, Conte, is such a huge part, Courtois is a huge part, Hazard is a huge part. And all of a sudden, guys, we're talking about pieces that are in flux. We don't know where they're going. Hazard and Courtois have both said that they want to play at Real Madrid. So you got guys that are looking in the neighbor's yard, you know what I mean? And I think that that's a huge part of why they're not being touted to do anything this year. Questions at every single level. And we'll end it with this, guys. You answered my question about who's their best forward, but if they lose Courtois and they bring in above-average goalkeeper, like, let's say, Kasper Schmeichel, do you think that they can finish in fourth, or do you guys think that the loss of Courtois is enough to sink the club even further with the rest that's going on? I'll start with James.
I think that's too big of a blow for him to overcome. Courtois, for as much as he's a just a total douche off the field,
he's
a great goalkeeper. So that's way, I think it's too much for him to overcome. Caballero is a backup, but nothing more than that. And I think Kasper Schmeichel's a good keeper, but I don't think he's saving anybody's title hopes. They might end up with Joe Hart if they're unlucky.
No, I thought Joe Hart he's closing in at a middle tier team for
Burnley.
$4 million.
Burnley are going for him, I think, for $4 million. Yeah, but okay. I mean, they could get gazumped by Chelsea.
Team he can sink.
They could get gazumped.
Yeah. Ken,
I think you do need a world class keeper like Courtois to even be in the discussion. I think more so if Courtois were to leave, it would be more the mental blow on Chelsea that it would have. And if Courtois leaves, I would be more afraid of that signaling the bus of everyone else to leave. So I think if Courtois leaves, it's not long after that Hazard leaves, Kante leaves. And then, I mean, it's just, it's a who's who of who's going to be out. Willian, anyone else. And then Sarri's gone by January. There's no question to me.
Man. Just throwing bows there.
It's not throwing bows. I mean, it's just no, like, if he were to leave, I think that shows it's a train rolling in the wrong direction.
Yeah, well, My big thing is they have an abysmal transfer record, guys. I mean, they signed Barkley for 35, Drinkwater, Bakayoko, and the first season for Murata was so poor. I think he'll have a better season just because he can't have a worse season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I read an article saying that Murata actually reached out to Real Madrid on his own accord, and they told him,
please,
if we don't sign anyone else,
we're still not signing.
Maybe we'll take you back.
We're still going to sign.
Maybe we'll take you back, but we'd rather probably have a dog.
Yeah.
Play striker.
Wow.
Heavy words. So, guys, the fifth place team to me in the title standings in Vegas was very surprising. I thought Tottenham would be third place, honestly, and Manchester United fourth, Chelsea fifth. But Tottenham is considered fifth, and I think the big thing is, you know, they haven't spent any money to reinforce their team. They have a new stadium, and they retained all their key players, which we said in the offseason, Ken, was a win for them. They re-signed Harry Kane. They re-signed Pochettino before Real Madrid could bully them into taking both of them. And right now, Daniel Levy and Tottenham, the owner, they have all the leverage to keep those players in place. But Vegas is not impressed by the new stadium and the quality core storyline. And really, for me, guys, I mean, I think that they are still a quality team, and I think they deserve a little more respect than they're getting here. James, what are your thoughts?
New stadium, not signing anyone. North London, happy to finish in the top four. They finally replaced Arsenal. They've finally done it. I think that...
But according to the bookies, they're finishing fifth.
Yeah. So, I think that they're...
Once again, you make no sense.
they needed to bring players in. They have a very, very shallow squad. And this season especially, a lot of them ran deep into the World Cup. They're going to be tired. They're coming back in. Not really any backup for their key positions. They've no one that can shoulder any kind of load if Harry Kane is out for any kind of time. You know, Dele Alli is coming over what I think was a pretty disappointing World Cup. Eriksen did all right, but they're all going to be really tired. And I think that, you know, the days where Daniel Levy gets bigged up because he is an astute businessman, you know, are going to start to fall flat on their face when they can't get the results on the field anymore. So I could definitely see Tottenham dropping out of the top four and maybe finishing below Arsenal.
Ken?
Well, we have a Tottenham club that this will be, for everything that it's worth, the second year in a row that they've brought nobody in, thinking that they're going to be fine and they're going to be able to progress. You cannot progress unless you bring in players that are better than what you have currently. Now, we did say that them keeping everyone they have is going to be a win with having the new stadium. I do believe that there has to be something going on within the next couple of days, because I just don't see a player like Harry Kane signing a long-term contract with a club that is showing the signs of not caring if they get any better than what they are right now. Now, to your point of them taking over Arsenal, it will take them precisely 22 years to take over Arsenal, and they will have to finish top four consistently while they have this new stadium and paying for this new stadium. Please do not be disrespectful and take away anything that the great Arsene Wenger was able to do on restraints, budgets, and tactical capability that his club was allowing him to do underneath the economic confines that he was put under. Finishing like that, I mean, it does take somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, is Pochettino a great manager? Absolutely. I would never take anything from him. Is Harry Kane a great striker? Yes, absolutely. I won't take anything from him. But to James, to your point, they have no one to back them up. No one. I think that it's an issue. And how many seasons can they go without bringing in top quality reinforcements and be so consistent? Eventually, the wheels have to fall off. And I think a new stadium may be just what the catalyst to make the wheels fall off, the pressure just of that. They have a lot of pressure going into this season, and they haven't done their players a lot of justice by giving them a lot of backup. So I think that's why they're slotted to finish fifth.
Okay, so those would be the reasons for doubt. Yeah. And essentially it comes down to roster improvement as well as maybe not doing any investing in depth. But for me, let's go with the reasons for hope here. And I would say that continuity in an age of turnover, especially with their squad over the last 4 years, they are the most consistent team of the big boys. And every season, people talk about them dropping out and being worse. And honestly, guys, they haven't dropped below sixth since 09. And that sixth place finish was only one time. Recently, they were third, second, and third, and then were in a title run with Leicester. They're the most consistent of the big boys, as we see right now. And with Harry Kane, Son, and Eriksen took a huge step forward last year. Son was excellent last year. Of course, Harry Kane was consistently a great striker, as well as having depth with, I think Lucas Moura could be a good addition, and their defense is solid. Sanchez came of age last year over the season, made some mistakes here and there, but he could be considered the best young center back in the world right now, guys, if we're talking about a 21, 22-year-old. And yes, they are missing depth, but that core has carried them for the last few years, and I think if Dele Alli can be better than he was in the first half of last season and play more like he did in the second half, I think that there's a good chance that they get right back in there between second and third place.
I just don't see what's special about Dele Alli. I don't know what he does exceptionally well, if anything. I don't. If you're looking at him to carry your team,
I honestly agree with that. I've never seen like the allure of a Dele Alli. I've never seen him do anything like that's made me turn my eye.
I mean, I think he's another one of those players that does a lot of work in space, which is difficult to quantify.
I think it's because he's English, honestly.
Dude, he scored like 20 league goals 2 years ago when he was 20 years old. Like, that's a lot of goals. I mean, that's not a fluke. You don't score 20 out of nowhere on a team that's not scoring 150 goals. Like, that's a good season. He's a young player. And guys, watching the England in the World Cup, I definitely get what you're saying. There wasn't a lot of dynamism there, but he is a player who can win games for you. And I don't believe that he has to be the best player on their team. I think he has to be like third or fourth best on the team to have a successful season. He just has to be better than he was in the first half of last year. And even with him playing not up to his best, he was still up there in the assist leader, and they still finished in a third place. So I think that there's a little bit more made out of this than there probably should be. I think actually that Manchester United has had a worse offseason than Tottenham just in their overall expectations and morale, etc. You know, whereas Tottenham has signed Harry Kane and signed Pochettino, Manchester United is cursing at their 20-year-old players because they aren't good enough. According to Jose Mourinho, they don't have anybody good between the ages of 19 and 21. You know, I think that Tottenham could be going through a phase, Ken, to your point, an Arsenal phase where they have a stadium and they have to pay for it. But they've also signed Harry Kane and ensured that they have leverage to sell him to fund that financial burden to be lifted if need be.
Oh, yeah. You want Harry Kane now? It's mm-hmm. $200 million. Minimum. Yeah.
So I think that they've done a good job with that. Whether or not they can get any trophies, guys, I would say that they're a long shot. Maybe a League Cup would be something that they could get, but they don't have the depth really to run into a League Cup. And when you're running in these domestic cups against Manchester City, whose 12th player is Bernardo Silva and 13th player is Mahrez, like that's very different from Tottenham's 12th player in Harry Winks. Not that he's a bad player, but you know, it's not the same level. So Tottenham here, Vegas has them in fifth place. I still think they'll finish in the top four. I would expect Chelsea to finish below them, but, it's, you know, you can bet if you want to, Ken.
I won't.
But Tottenham projected to finish over Arsenal. Ken Lee, you're going to get your chance here. Arsenal 22-1 to win the title. And a lot of that has to do with the players. Mostly the same players with a few additions here and there. But, I mean, the big change, obviously, is Unai Emery coming in. And, you know, last year, Ken, I said it several times, I felt really bad that it was our first year doing a long season of EPL coverage. And it was just so disappointing for Arsenal. And for you to have to get on the microphone every single week and talk about Arsenal losing or drawing, especially in the winter, that was very difficult. So, Kenley, I'd like to be the first one to tell you that the Arsenal, they're in first place right now. Alphabetically,
yeah.
A's in first. They start at zero, Ken. So tell me, what gives you reason for doubt? And we'll finish with the reasons for hope. Give me your reasons for doubt on this Arsenal squad.
Well, I mean, the reason for doubt is a new manager has to have time to instill his philosophy, his new way, his new brand, if you want to say, of playing football in a team that has been managed by the same person for 22 years, who's had two decades plus to ingrain his mentality on this club. I think that that's the doubt. There's nothing else, really. I mean, we've gotten rid of a lot of the players we need to get rid of, brought in players to, you know, replace them, maybe make it better, you know, challenge for players that haven't had any type of challenge in the last several years. They just know that every single Saturday or Sunday they're going to be starting because there's no one else. I think the only doubt is a new manager taking the time needed to make this team successful.
That was a big sigh. All right, James, what are your reasons to doubt this Arsenal squad?
They've brought in a new defender, a new goalkeeper. I think that their defense was atrocious last season.
Miserable.
And they are going to, I mean, I like Socrates as a center back, you know, but he's going to have a rude awakening fitting into that back line. And like Ken said, I mean, having a new manager coming in, it's going to take a lot of time to change the mentality and the culture and the identity of the team. And I think that it's not going to be a plug and play situation. They don't have the players that are exactly what Emery would want to start with. He's got to adapt. They've got to adapt. It's going to be a period of transition. It's going to be rough.
It's a period of transition, but we don't have time for a period of transition. That yeah. is the doubt.
All right, so that's the doubt, Ken. And now we'll move to the optimistic side of Ken Lee and get him going, because I know, Ken, you're optimistic. I know you are. A more pragmatic manager, I think, will make a big difference. It's exactly what they needed. It was a good kick to the groin. Lacazette and Aubameyang's partnership blossomed late in the season. And they looked really good together. Honestly, guys, you know, we made a lot of jokes about this, but there's no World Cup hangovers really for the Arsenal team because most of their players didn't play in the World Cup. So
they are going to have to trudge through the Europa
League. They are, which is a big deal. I mean, we hate the Europa League just because it's so difficult to play on a Thursday and then play on the weekend when you go to Slovenia. You know, yeah. like that's a tough yeah. role. Nothing against Slovenia. We love our Slovenians, but like that's a tough road to come back from. So, Ken, let's get you going on the reasons for hope in Arsenal 2018-2019.
My hope is the same as my doubt, the new manager. Wow. This has been something we've been waiting for a long time as Arsenal fans. If you're being completely honest with yourself, I mean, we can sit there and say Wenger should have stayed. Wenger, it was the right time for him to go. But the right time for him to go is probably a little while ago. Now, Unai's in here. He's got the player signed quick. More importantly than Wenger being gone now, Unai was signed to this club with the new direction in place. He knows that he's not the only one that is in charge of making these signings. They've got the director of football, they've got the head of scouting, and they all work in tandem together to make sure that these players are where they need to be. And getting someone that is new to this and is going to fit into that seamlessly, I think is a positive going forward. Now, the hope is, and it always will be, this guy now is results-based. I really believe fully that Wenger became very player-oriented towards the end of his career at Arsenal. And it was, if the player's happy, we're all happy and we should all be happy. But I'm a fan and I'm not happy unless the results are happy. So now I'm looking forward to someone who gets on and says, this is a loss that we cannot absolutely take ever again, and this is what we're going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. Not blaming every Tom, Dick, and Harry as to why the loss wasn't there. We prepared properly. We did this, we did that. No, I think that we're going to get more accountability, and the accountability is going to come with the players that we brought in to test the players that we already have currently, you know, to make sure that they're ready to start.
Yeah, I think that accountability is the main word there, and I think that Arsenal's squad's been lacking it for a while just because the previous manager, Arsene Wenger, was so enamored with his players. I mean, he made some pretty ludicrous statements during the World Cup where he was saying that, oh yeah, Jack Wilshere was on a Messi level, and people are like looking at him. You know, he's a pundit. Like,
that's why he played for
like,
West
Ham. What are you talking
now?
About, dude? Like, I mean, you just saw that a guy that was,
yeah,
that was so like enamored with his own players that you understood what had happened over the last, you know, 5 years or so where he hadn't made a lot of movement because he really genuinely believed that all these players were that good.
Well, he was a player's manager. He'd rather pay you more money and keep you than do the hard thing and sell you off. and bring someone else. I mean, it took us, what, 8 years to get rid of Theo Walcott.
Yeah. I think Jack Wilshere is going to come back to haunt you this season.
I think Jack Wilshere, I think that on his day he's really good. The problem is he'll have enough good days for West Ham. He doesn't have enough good days for a club that should be contending. He doesn't.
What, who?
Arsenal.
Oh.
No, I mean,
jeez. I hope for no other reason. I hope that City doesn't win for no other reason that you just, all the City fans are like, shut up.
Well,
good Lord. There's like no other club exists anymore except for City.
I want to talk about Arsenal. I want to talk about their transfer plan, which I thought was excellent this year. I thought, you know, compared to years past where Arsene Wenger would kind of let slip that he had this giant war chest and all this money to spend, this year they just made their moves early. They did them quietly. They said, hey, you know what? We only have 50 million to spend. And then, Ken, they ended up spending like 100. So, I mean, they told everybody we don't have that much money.
Did they spend 100? I don't know if they spent 100.
Might be closer to like 80. But, I mean, they made a lot of their moves early, and I think that they have the widest range of finishes for the top six clubs. Chelsea could be argued as well, but I really think that Arsenal, if they were to get everything right, Aubameyang starts rolling, I mean, they have some talent there that they could jump up and be a surprise. At the same time, I could see them a rotting core of players that are getting older. You know, you don't know what mindset Mesut Ozil is going to be in after his poor World Cup showing and getting abused by
Fantastic media. Knowing that now he doesn't have to worry about playing for Germany
could
anymore
be.
And you've got Joel Campbell coming
back. I didn't
too.
Realize that he was still on the roster. That's incredible. But yeah, I mean, you don't know where Arsenal's going to finish. And I think that I hope for your sake, Ken, even though you do take so many shots about us being Manchester United and delusional and Manchester City fans, et cetera, I still would like...
I didn't say Manchester City fans are delusional this season. You, as a Manchester United fan, are definitely delusional.
Well, I hope for your sake and for the podcast's sake that you you don't have to talk about the 13 losses or whatever that Arsenal has, and that they win some away games this year. I don't know if they won any last
year. I think right now, when you look at 4, 5, and 6, based on these bookies that you've sent out to us, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal, you're not even being truthful with yourself if you don't think that Arsenal has the best chance to finish 4th out of these three clubs.
I really don't. I've explained that. You can go back and listen, but I've explained why I think that the other teams ahead of them are better.
I think that Arsenal are doing the right things to right the ship that was heading in the wrong direction. I think you're doing the right things. But, like, you know, the same reason you're pessimistic and optimistic at the same time, it's all new. Everything's new. So you got to make it click, and you got to do it fast if you want to finish top 4.
Oh, exactly that, right.
That's
going to exactly
be the,
right.
That's going to be the hard part
yeah,
for you
I
guys.
Think it'd be different.
There's a lot of things going on with 4, 5, and 6, with those three clubs in particular, that, and it's going to be the slightest little thing that determines who finishes 4, 5, and 6.
It'd be a small difference for sure, and that's what makes the EPL so interesting, is that you really do have six clubs that, you know, right now there's more of a variance than there's ever really been. It's just because Manchester City was so heads above everybody else, was so much better than everyone else. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
That's right.
All right, so we're finished with the top six now, guys, and we're going to move to seventh place, Everton. James, I'm going to stick with you on this one. I put them in seventh place for the same reason that I put the top six in the order I did. It's the Vegas odds. Everton, 250-1 to win the title, and a weird season for them. Big Sam picks up the corpse of the relegation-bound Everton team and carries it to mid-table safely. Uh-huh. I thought that was really hilarious, James. We had a lot of jokes about it, but like right around late April, he was just like, there's no more games left. I don't really care about anything else that happens this season. We're not going to be relegated. And then, of course, they fired him right after the season, even though he carried him up out of relegation.
I think Big Sam a little hard done by there. But I think they've upgraded to Marco Silva. I think he's a talented manager. He's gonna have some good ideas to bring to Everton. And they look like they're making some nice moves in the transfer window. I like Rick Carlson. I think he's a good player. 50 million, maybe a little steep, but I mean, he's a young, talented Brazilian, so we'll see where it goes from there. Lucas Dean from Barcelona, I think that's
a
great pickup to back up the aging Leighton Baines, probably overtake him pretty soon here.
I forgot
and
about
then, Baines. Yeah, Yeah, and then they're also, looks like they're signing Yerry Mina, who's a center back from Colombia, who had a really great World Cup. Big commanding center back from Barcelona as well. I like those moves. I think Everton, definitely a respectable team this year, but maybe needs a little bit more time to become dangerous outside the top
six. Yeah, so everything you just said, I would counter with, you know, they spent $150 million last offseason on like six players.
Really poorly. Yeah.
And then to be battling hard for relegation in January was absolutely embarrassing for such a proud club. But that being said, I think that, you know, all those players have another year on them. Pickford had a brilliant World Cup. I don't think that he's going to enter the realm of a world-class goalkeeper, but I think that he will get a lot of confidence from that. And, you know, he's young, so he could become a very solid goalkeeper, which is, I think, where he ends up. I like Marco Silva. I know Everton has wanted Marco Silva for a long time, James, and they're happy to finally get him. And I think that, yeah, I think this will be a decent year for Everton. Seventh place for me is a good bet. And my bold prediction for Everton is that they will return to respectability in a hurry. And, James, they will beat Liverpool at Anfield to ignite the rivalry again. So, I think that'd be really interesting. And I think Everton is looking in good shape. All right, so Ken, let's move to Wolves. Newly promoted Wolves with already being put at 250-1. Obviously, that's a distant shout for a title, but for a newly promoted club to be anywhere near the top eight is very interesting to me. And honestly, I know James will like this. They're the most intriguing story to come out of the championship since Blackpool and Ian Holloway. They play attacking, and it's a very interesting setup. James, your thoughts on Wolves coming into the league, supposedly having a shout for European play?
They've made a ridiculous amount of moves. They brought in João Moutinho from Monaco, Rui Patricio, the goalkeeper from Sporting, after that team basically collapsed under scandal. Raul Jimenez, another Portuguese player. I mean, they've brought in some serious talent. They're definitely investing to stay up, unlike a lot of other teams that we've seen. And that's probably why they've been given the odds that they've been given. I think they make a splash this year. Okay.
Ken, your thoughts on Wolves and their new Portuguese attack that they brought in?
No, I mean, I think that the 250-1 odd says that, you know, they're pretty much guaranteed to finish. And I don't think that it will be, you know, too difficult when you look at the teams just from last season, what they were doing. I mean, it was more of a who's who of just not doesn't want to show up between these teams that were there. I mean, you don't usually have the relegation issues you had last season where there was basically six teams that were trying to leave. I think Wolves are coming in at a good time, plus all of the fantastic signings they've brought in. I mean, I think they're going to be great. I think they're going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of different teams. And, you know, if you look back to when they were here last, I mean, they weren't really a walk in the park. They were just kind of hard done when they got relegated, I believe. So hopefully, you know, they'll be back for a little while. I like Wolverhampton.
Yeah, I think that it's a very interesting story to me. They brought a lot of high-profile talent that you wouldn't really see on a club that was in the championship from the Portuguese league.
They got Afobe, too.
Yeah, and the big part of that is, though, that they have Jorge Mendes, who is the super agent.
Ready.
One of the originals, a Scott Boras type, Rayo Mino, whatever his name is, Pogba's guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Jorge Mendes was the original of those agents, and I think that that's a big deal. And I also think that his involvement at the club level is very high, and it's up there with ownership. And I believe, my bold prediction, Ken, I don't know if you guys are going to like this or not, but I think Wolves are going to be sanctioned for his interference. I think that they're going to find a problem with it. The Premier League is different from the Championship.
No, there's a possibility because a lot of people in the Prem, they call foul pretty easily.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm saying.
And a lot of teams around Europe will say, they took my player illegally. Like, they talked to him on a Wednesday and they weren't supposed to talk to him until Thursday.
I think there's going
to
be a problem. I don't think the Prem's going to allow it. And I think you're going to get these clubs, honestly, clubs like Manchester United, Manchester City, and the big clubs, they're very, very they're very territorial. And if Wolves has a good start, all of a sudden you're going to hear the big wigs in the room at the FA board are going to hear, you know, these big clubs whispering in the ear and saying, hey, how'd they get that guy? How'd they get him when Swansea doesn't have the same opportunity to get that type of player? So I think that there will be a problem with that. I hate to say it, but I believe that storyline is going to continue and there will be an issue.
End of the day, though, it's just fines.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll come to much, but I think that
It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's just, yeah, it'll be a little bit of a circus on the back office, and it'll be up to the players to play through it. But fines are the team's issue, not the players' issue.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with that. Next in line at 300-1 is West Ham. I'm going to let you take care of this one, Ken. Possibly the most disappointing team in the Prem last year. They're looking to move on from a terrible season, and this is another time when they spent a lot of money like Everton, and that just none of these players really worked out. They had pitch invasions at the end of the season, and they had David Moyes guide them to not promotion, but keep them out of relegation. So I think that it's a big deal that Pellegrini comes in, former Manchester City manager. I think he's very talented. Whether or not he can use his talents to guide this club into the top half of the table is another question, but I think he's a good pick, and I think that, honestly, I think my bold prediction for them is that Pellegrini will deserve manager of the year, but he won't win it. So I think that they have reason to be optimistic. Your thoughts, Ken?
Yeah, I think that they'll be better if for no other reason than they'll have a manager at the helm who's been there before, if you will. You know, I mean, he's going to understand how to take a team of misfits or a team of players who have maybe been, you know, spent too much money on and have been a little bit coddled by their name, and coming into a team like West Ham, and he's going to be able to tell them, this is what we do from here on out. If you don't do it this way, you won't be playing. You need someone, I believe, who has managed top clubs and top players to come in and smack around a player at a mid-level club who thinks he's a top player. I think he's going to be just what West Ham needs. Do I think that he's going to make a gigantic splash? No, but I think a gigantic splash this season would be no relegation threats and finishing 8th, 9th, or 10th. I'd even say 11th, honestly. Yeah. You know, and it'd be a respectable 8th to 11th. None of this. No fear of relegation. Never even getting close to it. Just Pellegrini planting the seeds of what will turn into a consistent West Ham again.
Yeah, I agree. I think they spent a lot of money last year. Like Everton, they spent it relatively poorly. I like Arnautovic. I think that they found a good role for him up top, and I think that that'll help them, and I do think they'll finish in the top 10. So let's move on to Leicester City, guys. Always a favorite. 300-1, Jamie Vardy's absurd goal-scoring record carried Leicester City to a comfortably mediocre season where they were not battling relegation. Vardy scoring 20 Premier League goals, just excellent, scoring against all of the big boys, all the top six he scored against, even though in those games Leicester City was a heavy underdog. And I think that, unfortunately, that would be a little bit of a reason for regression. I don't think they get those kind of performances. They lost Mahrez, and I think that seems to be the storyline going in, but Leicester City seems to generate their own results, and I think that they don't get relegated. They finish somewhere between 9th and 12th. My bold prediction, James, is that they don't miss Mahrez. What are your thoughts on Leicester City going into the season?
Yeah, well, I think that prediction is just crazy. you know, having just been watching Mahrez this morning playing the Community Shield, the passes that he was putting through to Aguero, I know that you've questioned where he's going to fit in the team, how much playing time is he going to get. He offers something totally different than what we've had at City so far. He's not there to compete with Sterling or Sané. He's a completely different player. And the passing and the creativity from him was top-notch. And to think that Leicester wouldn't miss that when they're bringing in James Maddison from Norwich to replace him, you know, that as an attacking midfielder, is kind of crazy. They're going to miss him. Vardy's goal-scoring record is in part because of Mahrez's being on the field. Not just the assists, but the danger that Mahrez presents at any time. He did 13 goals and 13 assists last season, which is
I don't doubt that he's a great player. I said that before. I think he is a great player. I don't think he finds minutes at enough minutes at City. Otherwise, he's taking minutes away from one of their great young talents in Sterling or Sané, which I don't think would be a good idea. But I'm not Pep Guardiola, so I just think that Leicester City seems to find results, and with Jamie Vardy there, they seem to get results. But you could be right; they could easily be a relegation battler.
I think they'll just be a uninspiring lower table finishing team.
Yeah, you could convince me of that pretty easily. I think from here on out, the rest of these teams could all be battling relegation, including Leicester City. I think that West Ham is the line in the sand for me. I think they don't battle this year. But let's move on to the next team. Ken, Crystal Palace, Roy Hodgson, great old bloke, put some steel in the squad and prompted Wilfred Zaha to save Palace after a dreadful 0-7 start where they did not score a goal. Hodgson's stability will keep Crystal Palace mid-table. I'm going to make it real easy for you, Ken. Do you think that Crystal Palace battles relegation this year?
No.
I think they're nice and safe.
I don't think so.
Nice and safe with Roy?
I don't think they're nice and safe. I just think that they're not going to be in the predicament that they found themselves in last season. If for any other reason than the fact I don't think Crystal Palace as a club allows it, I think that there will be a lot of big changes way quicker this time around if that were the case. I just don't think Crystal Palace is a bad team, you know, and they showed that towards the end of the season, and I think that they started kind of coming into their own. To your point, I think Hodgson does bring a little bit of necessary consistent. Maybe it's just accountability. Like, you can't play like that. It's okay to lose, but it's not okay to get comfortable losing. And for the beginning of the season, Crystal Palace was okay to lose. And that, yeah. It's just not acceptable. And I think Roy Hodgson brings that mentality.
They were
to the
hot
club.
Garbage early, for sure. My bold prediction for Crystal Palace, Christian Benteke, guys, will not be the worst striker in the league. That's the best I could do for a bold prediction. I thought about saying Zaha would
easy
leave,
with
but we'll see. Let's move to Newcastle, 500-1. A lot of noise there right now, whether or not their owner, Mike Ashley, is going to sell the team. Rafa Benitez up there for manager of the year last year. Very defensive scheme. And I think that if he stays, they'll be fine. James, your thoughts on Newcastle's predicament or anything else with Newcastle?
Well, Rafa's the only hope that they have of staying up. I mean, they've not improved on their team from last season. And Benitez has not been shy about pointing that out. He's like, look, we're in trouble. We haven't gotten any of the people that I wanted to get in. This team is not up to snuff. It isn't. But they have Benitez, who's going to give them that extra oomph. I mean, if he stays, I think they stay up. If he doesn't stay, there's no chance in hell that they stay in.
Very interesting, really. Especially coming with their ownership in flux. My bold prediction for them is Mike Ashley sells the team, and the Newcastle fans, the Geordies, hate the new foreign ownership more than they hated him. So I think that might be a statement on Newcastle, but I think that's what happens there. Guys, Southampton would be next in 13th. 500-1 is where they're picked, same as Newcastle. And guys, they sleepwalked almost into the championship last year after a consistent Premier League play, finishing, you know, 9th, 8th place usually, but last year nearly relegated. They were my pick to be relegated. But the returning squad with Mark Hughes, I mean, James, you know this as well as anyone. He's the king of mid-table, so I think that's where they end up. And my bold prediction for them is that Ward-Prowse takes the next step and enters the England fold. Ken, anything to say about Southampton?
No, I think more of the same from last season, honestly.
You think they're going to be relegation battlers?
I think so.
I agree. I don't think they've done anything to get out of that predicament, and they still have Mark Hughes.
I just think the years of them, you know, just becoming this, like, the whole storyline of that club was, we can bring up these players through our academy, sell them for a boatload of cash, and still be respectable, higher than mid-table club. It's just kind of run its course, and I don't think that they don't have a plan B, per se. And it was well documented last season, and based on what they've done now, I think that it'll just be more the same.
It's very fair. I think that they'll do a little bit better, and the odds are seeming to reflect that they'll do a little better. I just think that they finish like 15th or something like that. So 14th place team, according to Vegas, will be Burnley, 750-1. Sean Dyche has brought European football into Burnley at Turf Moor. But guys, I think that they're going to suffer horribly for it. James, your thoughts on Burnley hosting Europa games?
Yeah, I agree. They are gonna feel the pain. They've brought in one player, a center back from the Championship, Middlesbrough. That's it. I don't know. They've got heart. I'll give them
not Joe
them
Hart.
That.
But they have heart.
Not Joe Hart. I mean, they could not yet. Yeah, you're gonna sign Joe Hart to win the Europa League, maybe. But they're gonna be in trouble. They're gonna be thin on the ground, and I think their Prem campaign is going to suffer.
Yeah, my not so bold prediction, Burnley will get knocked out of Europa early and still fight relegation. So let's move on to Fulham, 1,000-1, back in the Premier League, Ken, with much more positive game plan than they were known for. Fulham are many pundits' dark horse, because of their positive play, but I think they get really smacked against the big boys in this one. You come up with an offensive game plan against Manchester City or even Tottenham, Manchester United, any of those teams, and you can get drilled like 4-0, and all of a sudden your goal differential's in trouble.
You definitely can, but at the same time where you look at a top club, I mean, you could take your beloved Ferguson approach to this. You don't need to, if you're a top club, beat the top four to win the league. The same thing to Fulham. You don't need to beat the top four to stay in the league.
That's true.
So if they can be consistent, and they've brought in a fair amount of players that are going to give them a lot of consistency on both ends of the ball here, I think Fulham is going to be... They'll be a dark horse only because they're a newly promoted team, but let's not forget that they're a Premier League mainstay for several years. I mean, they've been here before. They're going to know what it takes to stay here. More importantly, I think that what I just said, they've brought in players that make them 100 times better than they were last season, and the consistency that they're going to be able to find against the teams that are 9-20. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, they're going to find a lot of success there, and it's going to be enough for them to finish, I think, maybe even top 10.
Very interesting. I mean, wow. I think that's bold, but I think that that's an, you know, a very possible point, especially considering the field. There's not a huge difference, and if you can find form, you have a real chance. My bold prediction for them is that Fulham beats a top four team, and then later in the season loses 4-0 to the same team, just because of their approach, but...
Well, I mean, that'll happen. I mean, they're going to play attacking. They're going to get mm-hmm. stomped eventually.
Yeah, sometimes, you know? They will get stomped, right? But they also held on to a very exciting young talent in Ryan Sessegnon.
Winger.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they have an exciting team. They're going to get stomped sometimes, but they're also going to pick up some wins. Absolutely.
It's as long as they get stomped by a top four club, it won't matter.
It's okay. Right.
Sessegnon,
exactly.
I think, is an interesting point, James. He's transitioned now. I don't think he's really playing much wing back. I think he's playing as an all-out winger or pretty close to it for Fulham. Mm-hmm. And I think that England Fulham was looking at him. He was 17 last year, but he had an excellent season in the championship. It will be interesting to see what happens with him. But Fulham long shots to win the title, obviously, but I think they finish 14th, 15th, somewhere in that range. Ken has higher hopes for them, which is fine. I think that with 9 to 20 or even 8 to 20.
I mean, full disclosure, I don't really care where they finish. I just think
doesn't
that they're
matter much. Yeah. All right, guys. So Bournemouth 1,000-1 as well. Eddie Howe continues to keep the tight knit team performing just enough to stay clear. And my bold prediction is not bold. Bournemouth will be the most boring team in the Premiership. James, anything to add to that?
They did okay. I think they did well last season playing some fast-paced and, like, close. You're right. They were very, like, tight tactically. But I think I kind of agree with your assessment. They're going to find it hard to break down teams this season, and they haven't really done anything to address the lack of creativity. They'll be pretty boring.
All right, so we'll move to Watford, another team that's usually not incredibly exciting, although they play much better ball than they give credit for, so I shouldn't probably say that. Watford 1,000-1, and you know, it's a hard-to-read club from season to season. I feel like sometimes they have a shot in the top 10, and other times they look like they're going to get relegated and go through four managers, so... I think my bold prediction for this year, Ken, is that Watford spends no time in the relegation zone this year. That's bold, considering we think they're going to finish in 17th place. So we'll see what happens with that. Moving on to Brighton, 1,000-1. You know, it took them the form on the tip of a nice edge and a 34-year-old's peak season to stay up, James. And I think this year they drop just a few more points and they're out of the top flight.
That would be harsh for them, but I see it being very difficult, and they're definitely in the relegation candidates for me.
I think they're going to score the least amount of goals. That's my not-so-bold prediction. They had 34 last year, and the lowest was Swansea and Huddersfield with 28. Man. I think it'll be Brighton this year, and they're on the way out. So that's unfortunate. We got 19th here, Huddersfield 1,500-1, really in a relegation battle. They were a miracle to stay up last year. You know, all three promoted clubs stayed up. But David Wagner leads a team of extreme mediocrity to the borderline heroic stand in the EPL last year. No real roster improvement indicates that they're probably going to end up falling down. Ken, anything to add to that?
No. I mean, good for them last season, but unfortunately for them, it'll probably come to a, a slow screeching halt.
Yeah, I honestly, the bold prediction for me is that David Wagner, the manager, is at a bigger club by January. I think that he ends up just taking the improvement and gets out of there. Last one, guys, Cardiff 2,500-1 to win the title. And James, my big thing with Cardiff and why I think they are absolutely getting relegated is because Neil Warnock is the manager for them. And if you don't know who he is, just YouTube him. He's a ridiculous human being, a shouting kind of old school manager, but he has a strong heart. James, but the Premier League has a ton of heart. There's just no talent on the team.
No, there's no talent on the team. I hate Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
I hope, if it's possible, I don't know if it's mathematical, I hope by Christmas that they are mathematically relegated.
That's very mean. That is very mean, but I, honestly, it's part of the bold prediction for me.
Is that possible? I guess if they lose all their games.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible to, like, you know, just say there's not many more possibilities than relegation.
But, right.
It's very...
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
It's very nice to see Neil back in the Prem, but I think that it's going to be short-lived. My bold prediction is the Bluebirds of Cardiff will start poorly and stay there, despite playing against Bournemouth, Newcastle, and Huddersfield early. The September matches of Arsenal, Chelsea, and Manchester City in September. I mean, you're looking at those big clubs there that are going to be having their World Cup guys that are still on vacation coming back into form. And I think that Cardiff is just going to get drilled in September. And I think that they're going to be out pretty quickly here. They're not going to be mathematically eliminated, but I think that they're going to be a team that struggles big time. But that does it for the 2018-2019 EPL preview, guys. I appreciate you spending the time here. And anything else you want to add, Ken?
No.
What about nothing about Hope Springs Eternal with Arsenal or Let's Just Play the Game or anything like that?
No, I think that the season hasn't even started yet. So a couple days of transfers left.
Yeah.
It's a little premature to be doing anything but going over the teams, the lay of the land, this, that, and such. What's
a couple days left for Arsenal to be in first place. And then
the season starts. Touching on that, guys, on Friday, August 10th, Manchester United plays Leicester City. That'll kick off the Prem. Then the Saturday games start coming in. A lot of 10 o'clock matches there. No real great ones there. Chelsea, Huddersfield. That'll be interesting to see how Chelsea shows up in that match at 10 a.m. But the big match, guys, coming on Sunday, Manchester City versus Arsenal. And I have to get your picks real quick here. I don't want a long line. I just want one pick. James, your thoughts on the game?
City 3-0.
All right. Ken, your thoughts on the game?
Disrespectful. It's going to be very sad with you having that type of outlook on that game when Arsenal does come in and greet you with a smacking like you stole something from us.
I like your
spirit. I think Arsenal 2, City 1, and it will be a fast goal on City. City will score maybe even within the first 4 minutes. But 2-1,
the last three games we've played, City has scored 3 goals, and 2 of them were 3-0 victories. The other one was a 3-1 victory.
Yeah, that was arguably in a time when the manager was checked out, knew what was going on. The club had nothing really to play for. So now it's a new season, new manager, new club. You're gonna get your justice.
New year, at a new year.
2-1 away loss. To open up your season. Enjoy the hangover from World Cup.
All right. I won't say anything else beyond that. Liverpool host West Ham. I think that game will be more interesting than people imagine it will be. And I think that you could see West Ham eke out a result there if Liverpool shows up a little bit too big for their britches, guys. And Tottenham playing Newcastle away is an important match for them as well. With their a lot of World Cup players still coming back from vacation, Tottenham have a lot of those players. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, guys. But I really appreciate you guys spending time with us here. And let's get the season started. Let's get the transfer window ended, and let's get into the soccer. Let's go, Manchester United.
City.
Arsenal.